The title is Improving Selection Accuracy with Post-Hoc Blocking and Turfgrass Breeding. Authors are Lynn Shing, Kevin Kenworthy, Brian Andrew, and Patricia Munoz. Presenting Lynn Shing.
Thank you for the introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. Today, I would like to present the usage of post-hoc blocking on improving accuracy of genetic parameters in the turf grass breeding program. Before I jump into my topic, I would like to give some brief introduction about basic concept. As many of you guys may recognize, this is a randomized complete block design. Actually, randomized complete block design, it is a really widely used experimental designs, especially in biological field and other related research. In one of the classes, actually, we did some surveys on the students, so what kind of experimental design you guys use in your experiment. And surprisingly, you will find that 80% of the people in that class, they actually indicate they use a randomized complete block design. Actually, there are several reasons for them to use that. For this kind of experimental designs, it is easy to implement, it is easy to analyze data, and also you get some blocking factors on the environmental variance. So let's say if you try to test maybe 3 to 5 pesticides in your study, this can be a pretty good experimental design. And to make this experimental designs the best usage, actually there are 3 assumptions you need to hold. First of all, you try to make sure that within each block, the variance component it is consistent. Second, you try to make sure that you have all the treatment levels in your blocks, and each treatment should be randomized. So for small treatment, it won't be a problem. But if you look at this picture, this is how it looks like for a turf grass breeding program. You have so many genotypes. For the left picture, actually, I took it when I was standing on one side of the breeding program. I took from that side, and you cannot barely see the end of all the plot. So as the plant breeders, they need to test many genotypes in their studies. So the block size actually get increased pretty fast, which will cause a problem that you actually violate one of the assumptions. Within block, there is variations. So some people say, well, okay, I didn't start my experiment, so I can go back and design a better experiment. That's fine, but how about some people that they already started their experiment, they cannot say that, okay, I will restart my experiment just because I don't have the best design. So to approach that, actually, we propose something. We try to use post-hoc blocking, try to solve that problem. Post-hoc blocking, we artificially superimpose the new experimental designs on the original designs. It is initially proposed by some statisticians. They try to test out some of the experimental designs, but they don't want to waste too much resources in the field. So on the bottom, there's one example. I try to illustrate how that works. On the left side, actually, you can see the randomized complete block design. You can consider that as original experimental designs. On the right side, actually, we superimpose row and column factors. In this picture, probably you only see several limited numbers, but you can imagine that if this is a turf grass breeding program, there will be many genotypes in one of the reps. And later, we can actually incorporate the columns and the row factors into the statistical models, try to see if we can get a better estimation. So we think that after we use the post-hoc blocking, incorporating with spatial factors, actually we can increase the accuracy of the estimation of genetic parameters. To test that out, we will be using the Zoysia grass as a model. It is a really important warm season species, widely used in southern and transitional zones of the United States. And about its usage, I believe that many of you guys know better than me, since you are expert in turf grass. So for the experiments, they are established in 5 different locations in Florida. And within each location, we have 80 genotypes. And for the each location, it's set up as a randomized complete block design with three reps. And it is rated on a monthly basis from 2011 2015. And the trait we are interested in is turf quality. And totally we are using 24,000 data points. The reason that I mentioned the data point here is like we try to see that actually this is a solid study. It is not that I just randomly pick some data set and play with that to get this result. So we actually tested different post-hoc blockings, but here I will only be presenting the row column designs. Give a simple example about that. For the data feeding, we are using the SRemo software. So we feed the original experimental design and also the row column designs. And then based on the Bayesian information criteria, we compare the different models. So for the Bayesian information criteria, it is penalize the likelihood. Basically, you take the parameter numbers into your consideration to avoid the overfitting issue. This result shows the model fitting from the BIC we just talked about. So on the XXL, it is five different locations we have on our in our experiment. And the BIC, the YXL is the BIC. So here I want to point out that actually for BIC, the lower value you see actually indicates the better model fitting. So if you look at that, you will see that actually row column design is consistently yield a better model fitting than the randomized complete block design. For this one, we actually think about the question from another perspective. We look at the residual variance from different locations. For the residual variance, actually, if you have lower residual variance, that means your model is usually fitting better. So we also see kind of a similar trend as the previous slide, that the row column design, they give us lower residual variance, indicating the better model fitting. So this one is one that we show the narrow sense heritability. But if you look at that carefully, you probably will see, well, there's not much trend happened for the heritability part. Yes, actually, we are not expecting to see any particular trend. The main purpose we try to do is like getting better estimation accuracy. It is not like higher numbers. So from previous two slides, actually, we already know that the row column design is feeling better. But here we can think from another side that let's say if that is more accurate, if you look at the randomized complete block design, you will see some of the side actually their values is higher, which indicating the overestimation for the heritabilities. And as a plant breeder, you actually have limited resources. You don't want to waste your resources on something that you cannot get from what you want. And here's another important part. Actually, some breeders, they select based on the rankings. This picture indicates how the ranking changed based on feeding different models. So the XXL, it is randomized complete block design, row column designs. The YXL is the ranking of the genotypes. Each circle indicates different genotypes. And through lines, actually, you can see the change of genotype rankings from different models. But more importantly, something really interesting is that actually after we feeding a new model, increase the estimation accuracy, there is some genotypes that are actually not in the top performers, but they enter the top performer later, genotype 11 and genotype 12. And this can be really critical for some breeder if you try to select certain genotype and moving your breeding program to another phase. So there is several take-home message for my study. Generally, we show that the post-hoc blocking has better data feeding and also provides more accuracy estimation of the genetic parameters. You are not expecting to see any particular changes to the heritability. Also, some breeders, if they try to make their breeding program forward, probably they can consider using the post-hoc blocking, try to test out their ranking to see if there is any changes, and based on that, they can make a better decision. And last, but it's kind of the most important, you always want to design your experiment well, because if you have a good design experiment, it's really easier to yield better results than just try to improve your estimation from the analysis part. So in later, we will try to do more work on the genotype by environmental interaction. From the data, actually, we can see there's a lot of interaction exist, but we are not sure like where that comes from. Is that coming from multiple year factor, or that is from the different location factors? And later, we also wants to study the effect of drought on the estimation of genetic parameters. And with that, I would like to thank you, my committee members and my advisors.